What if I told you that right now, in this very moment, you're breathing in molecules from Julius Caesar's dying gasp? It's true. Science confirms that every breath we take contains atoms that have cycled through countless lives before ours, linking ancient Rome to this present instant. We are molecularly connected across time and space, our existence woven into an invisible web of shared air, shared history, shared fate. Yet here's the paradox that should terrify us. Despite this profound interconnection, despite knowing that our actions ripple forward through generations, we stand paralyzed before the greatest existential threat humanity has ever faced. Climate change isn't just melting ice caps and raising sea levels. It's unraveling the very fabric that binds us to past and future. The question isn't whether we understand the science. The question is why understanding doesn't translate into action. During World War II, Americans transformed society overnight. Auto factories became tank manufacturers, silk producers shifted to parachutes, and 20 million citizens planted victory gardens, producing 40% of the nation's vegetables. Tax rates hit 94%, yet people embraced these changes as privileges. Roosevelt understood that framing matters more than facts. Saving our way of life meant we had made no sacrifice at all. If flipping a light switch differently could prevent planetary catastrophe, would that be too much to ask? Yet we struggle with even minimal adjustments. Climate change fails as a narrative for our primitive brains. Wars have visible enemies and immediate danger. Climate change feels distant, abstract, complex, something happening over there rather than right here, right now. In 1943, Jan Karski brought eyewitness accounts of the Holocaust to Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter, who responded, "I didn't say this young man is lying. I said I am unable to believe him." There's the gap that may doom us. Knowing something intellectually doesn't mean we truly believe it enough to act. Our minds evolved to respond to predators, not slow-moving existential threats. This cognitive dissonance between knowledge and belief may be our greatest obstacle to survival. When 18-year-old Kyle Holtrust was pinned under a 3,300-pound Camaro, witness Thomas Boyle Jr. lifted the vehicle to free him, an example of hysterical strength that far exceeds normal human capability. Scientists have never replicated this phenomenon in controlled settings, yet evidence suggests it's real. Athletes perform better at home games partly because fans create powerful emotional incentives. To address climate crisis, we need to feel Earth as our home, not idiomatically or intellectually, but viscerally, in our bones. Psychologist Daniel Kahneman understood. To mobilize people, this has to become an emotional issue. Facts alone won't move us. But consider honeybees performing their collective shimmering wave to ward off predators, something no individual bee could accomplish alone. Groups of people lifting cars together accomplish what single individuals rarely can. Yet bee populations are collapsing globally due to climate change, leading to desperate hand pollination by workers using pollen sticks in some regions, a planetary crisis of failed collective action. Thanksgiving represents America's broadest collective action, with 96% participation, higher than daily toothbrushing. This participation stems from cultural structure, not spontaneous emotion. Studies show action often begets motivation rather than the reverse. Environmental nudges, green arrows in grocery stores, organ donation opt-out policies dramatically change behavior without requiring emotional commitment first. We don't need to feel differently before we act differently. We need to act differently, and the feelings will follow. We cannot save the planet without significantly reducing animal product consumption. Animal agriculture produces 37% of human-caused methane and 65% of nitrous oxide emissions. Since factory farming began in the 1960s, nitrous oxide has grown twice as fast and methane six times faster than any previous 40-year period in two millennia. The scale is staggering. 59% of all cropland feeds livestock, one-third of human-used freshwater supports livestock, and 60% of all mammals on Earth are farmed animals, roughly 30 farmed animals per human. Unlike manageable chronic conditions, climate change resembles a cancerous tumor, requiring immediate intervention before positive feedback loops create runaway warming. Methane traps 34 times more heat than CO2 over a century and 86 times more over two decades. Researchers at World Watch Institute estimated livestock responsible for 51% of global emissions, exceeding all cars, planes, buildings, and industry combined. Food carbon footprints vary dramatically. Beef creates 6.61 pounds of CO2 equivalent per serving, over 200 times more than potatoes at 0.03 pounds. To meet Paris Climate Accord targets, each person's annual carbon footprint must not exceed 2.1 metric tons by 2050. Americans currently generate 19.8 metric tons. Avoiding animal products for just breakfast and lunch saves 1.3 metric tons annually, equivalent to driving 3,000 fewer miles. Since the late 1980s, humanity has been living in ecological debt. Earth Overshoot Day, when our resource consumption exceeds Earth's regeneration capacity, arrives earlier each year. While Bangladesh maintains a sustainable footprint of 0.8 Earths, the average American lifestyle requires four planets. Dubai approaches six. Americans use 300 liters of water daily. Many Africans survive on less than 20. We're consuming resources at 1.5 times Earth's replenishment rate. My grandmother's generation practiced conservation born of necessity, repairing clothes, growing food, saving every penny. Today's average home contains thousands of consumer items. This raises uncomfortable questions. What are we stealing from our children? Not just warming temperatures, but collapsed ecosystems, depleted resources, potentially uninhabitable regions. Space exploration offers a seductive escape, but remains a distant solution. The urgency demands action now. Rapid transition to renewable energy, carbon pricing, dramatic emission reductions, massive reforestation, and fundamental changes to food systems. Project Drawdown identifies surprising priorities. Reducing food waste could prevent 87 gigatons of CO2 emissions, educating girls naturally lowers population growth, and plant-based diets address emissions and deforestation while improving public health. In 2018, civil rights attorney David Buckle self-immolated in Brooklyn's Prospect Park, his final message declaring, "Pollution ravages our planet, oozing inhabitability via air, soil, water, and weather." His desperate act poses a haunting question. Are we worthy of the inheritance we've received? With each breath, we inhale molecules from all who came before. Future generations might study our artifacts, concluding doing nothing to save their kind required the participation of everyone. We're killing ourselves because choosing death is more convenient than choosing life. Neil Armstrong's moon landing quote accidentally omitted "a" from "One Small Step for a Man," suggesting no human stands alone. To create rather than destroy, an individual must act on behalf of the collective. The solution isn't perfection, it's progress. Focus on the next meal choice. Just order something different this one time. It's not enough to say we want more life. We must refuse to stop saying it. The rainbow after Noah's flood served as both promise and warning. We are the flood and we are the ark. The choice is ours, but the time is now, not tomorrow, not after one more convenient meal. Now, because our children are already breathing the air we're poisoning, and they're asking where we were when it mattered most.